for this year. Book of Acts chapter 16. Why don't we thank Him? We know we should, but why do we not? There are several reasons for that, and that's something that I never wrote them all down. I just picked out four. Reason number one is a failure to focus on what you have. A failure to focus on what you have, and instead focusing on what you've lost. Now that requires a lot of thought. A failure to focus on what you have, and instead focusing on what you've lost. Think about that. Write that down. That's the first one. And you think about that. Now let's talk about it just a little bit. In the book of Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and Silas was in the city of Philippi. And they were there doing a good thing. They were there preaching the gospel. They were there sharing the message of salvation with the city of Philippi. Well, you know what happened? He got arrested. And he caused a ruckus. There's some people got offended at his teaching. And what happened in verse 22? It says, there was a multitude that rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes, and they commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, folks, would you consider that a rough day? That is really a rough day. I mean, after all, they didn't go to Philippi to cause up a ruckus or to raise a ruckus. They went to Philippi to do a good work, to do a good deed. They went there to present the gospel, and they did. And there were people being saved there, and there was a church established there as a result of this visit. If you look in your Bibles, the book of Philippians, that was the church located at Philippi. Well, what happened to the Apostle Paul? He was beaten for it. Humiliated publicly. They stripped him publicly, him and Silas, and then they beat him. That would have been with 39 stripes they would have got across their back. They throw him into prison. They don't give him no hearing. Now, he was supposed to have got a hearing. Of course, they didn't find out till later that Paul was actually a Roman citizen, which would have required him to have a hearing. And they were afraid because they did that, but at this time they didn't know. They rushed to justice, so to speak. So they had him beaten. They put him in prison. And then on top of putting him behind bars, they put him in the stocks. Of course, you've seen pictures of stocks. This is something, kind of a frame that your head went through and your hands went through and many times your feet went through. And he was in that. Now, can you imagine how miserable of a position that would have been in, especially after being beaten and humiliated? I mean, think about that. Does it appear that he lost a lot? Well, he lost his freedom, didn't he not? He lost his freedom. He didn't know whether he's going to live or die. He could very well, he just didn't know. He didn't know the Lord was going to open the prison that night. If I would have been him, I would have probably assumed that I would have been killed the next day. So it looks like he lost some, lost his freedom, maybe perhaps lost the opportunity to preach there. He didn't know. It looked like he lost a lot, didn't it? Well, notice his response to his circumstance. It says in verse 25, at midnight, Paul did what? And Silas, they prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Boy, that's a different kind of response, is it not? Their response was a whole lot together different than what our response would have been. I read this one time, a preacher wrote it. He said, I fear if I'd have been chained to Paul, that Paul would have sang a solo had he been through what all he went through. Well, he responded differently. The Apostle Paul, instead of focusing on what he'd lost, I believe what caused him to rise above the situation is they focused on what they still had. Even though they were still in prison, even though they had lost their freedom, even though they had been humiliated publicly, and even though they didn't know whether they were going to live or die the next day, you know something? They still had some pretty great blessings that were theirs, did they not? I wrote down some things that they still had, and I want you to listen to those. And I want you to understand something tonight. If you're here tonight and saved, these spiritual blessings that I'm going to mention that Paul and Silas had are the same spiritual blessings that, if you're born again, the same spiritual blessings that you have. And I want you to know something tonight. No matter what your physical circumstances may be, These spiritual blessings never change. And God's people can always be thankful and praise God for that. Paul and Silas, I believe, focused on what they still had instead of what they lost. What did they still have? Well, I wrote some of them down for you. Are you ready? I was going to write them on the board, but it took me too long. So I'll just tell you about them. What did they still have? Even though they were beaten, lost their freedom, maybe killed the next day, probably in pain too, don't you imagine? 39 stripes and them, probably miserable. What did they still have? Number one, they still had a home in heaven, didn't they? They still had a home in the Father's house. If they did indeed kill them the next day, they still had a home in heaven. That circumstance they were in never changed that fact. What else did they still have? Not only did they still have a home in heaven, you know what else they still had? They still had victory over death. You know the greatest victory that I have and you have tonight, if you're here to say, you got victory over the grave. If I would die tonight or I die tomorrow, I have victory over it. Death is just going to be the means by which the Lord transports me to glory. So he still had victory over the grave. He still had a glorious future, didn't he? He's still a child of God. He still had all of his sins paid for. He still had justification. He still had eternal redemption. He still had, as Hebrews says, perfection forever. He still had all of those things. So the point of this is, one of the ways they were able to sing praises is they didn't focus on their circumstance they were in and how bad it might be. They lift their eyes above that old Philippian jail and they focused on the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of God that they still had. And one of the reasons that we're not thankful is we look at our... Sometimes we look at our circumstances and they don't appear to be so good, and our joy and our praise and our thanks is dependent on whatever circumstances that we are in. Was their thanksgiving and praise dependent on their circumstances? Absolutely not. They were in very poor circumstances. They had been through a lot. But they focused on what they still had. Do you ever do that? Do you focus even when perhaps you may be going through a trial or a hardship or a distressing time? Do you still focus on the blessings that you still have? And like I said, no matter what you go through in this life, physically or materially, the eternal blessings that has been purchased for you through the blood of Jesus Christ, those are always true. They never change. That's one thing that will never change as far as our blessings is concerned. We always have an everlasting home in heaven. We always have our Savior. We're always His children. We always have our sins paid for. We always have eternal life. These are blessings that He bestowed upon you the day that you're saved, and they never change. You know what's bad? As many times we don't even focus on those things. We just go by the material things. How you doing, buddy? How you doing today? Oh, I'm not doing so good, boy. It's just things look bad here in this nation today. How are you doing? Boy, I'm doing great. I'm another day closer to paradise than I was yesterday. Depends on the way you look at things. If you focus on your spiritual blessings, which never change, there's always a reason to thank God. But the problem is, we don't base our thanksgiving on those spiritual blessings. We base our thanksgiving on material things. You ever notice it? Just material things. That's how you're doing. Man, if that determines how often you give thanks, that's not going to be very often. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you another text and we'll move on. Did everybody understand the first one? We fail to focus on what we have. Instead, what we do is we focus on what we've lost. We still have a lot of great blessings. Even though Paul and Silas was in jail, they still had some reason to praise God, didn't they? That's why they sang. And those spiritual blessings never change, and neither is yours. If you're here tonight and saved and you lose your health, if you're here tonight and saved and you lose your material wealth or whatever, you know what you still have? What do you still have? You still have your spiritual blessings. And those are the greatest thing anyway. They last forever. 2 Corinthians 4 says, in verse 17, For our light affliction, of course, Paul went through a lot of hard trials in his life. He went through 5 different beatings where he got 39 stripes, save one. Or 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes. He went through a stoning on an occasion. Thrown into prison, shipwrecks and everything. He went through a lot in the cause of Christ. But he said it was light. That doesn't sound too light to me. That sounds heavy. But he said it was light because it's just for a moment. He goes on to say, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more everlasting, eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are what? Are eternal. You know, everything you see today, this building you see, it's all temporary. You go home, you'll see your house. You know your house is temporary. You know, if you go to your job Friday, unless you're off, or tomorrow, you know that job's temporary? Everything you see is temporary. So Paul says, we don't look at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? That's where he fixed his eyes on all the time. He viewed everything he's seen here as temporary anyway. That's why he didn't get so shook up in bad circumstances, because he just figured those was just temporary anyway. He wasn't living for this world anyway. He was living for eternity. And his eternity was set in Christ. So, one reason we don't thank the Lord like we should is we don't focus on what we have. We focus rather on what we've lost. And then that sucks all the thanksgiving out of us. Our thanksgiving can't depend on earthly circumstances. It has to depend on our spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Now, we need to apply that physically, too. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We always need to focus on what we have. Usually on Wednesdays, I didn't get to this Wednesday, but on the past few Wednesdays, I've been going to a nursing home up in South Charleston. I visit Sister Rita's mommy. And I don't know if I'm going in on the wrong end or not, but when I go in, I got to walk almost 100 yards down the hall to go to where her room's at. But as I'm going down through her, I get to see a lot of people. A lot of people there. And it's amazing, as I look at some of those people there, that how they can be so feeble and still be breathing. I mean, that's what I think when I go through the shape of some of them. Some of them, they can't get out of bed. Can't feed. That kills me. They can't feed yourself. I remember I went by one room and the full woman's food tray was sitting in front of her. She just had her head down like this in front of it. I put her arms down. I was dying to go in and feed her, but you know what I'm saying? You just don't know what to do at times, but couldn't feed yourself. Can't take a bath. They can't take a bath. They have to have someone do it for them. They can't go to the bathroom. They have to wait on that fish and wait on someone to come and take them to the bathroom. Can't get yourself ready. Got to wait on someone to come in and put their clothes on them. They can't walk. Many of them can't see. Many of them can't hear. Many of them can't do none of those type things. They want to go anywhere. Even if you're in a wheelchair, they have to have someone shove them there. And I walk in there and see all that, and I'm sure all of y'all have seen all that before. How thankful we should be at what we have. I mean, we should thank God that. And I've said this before in the past, not trying to be disrespectful at all, but you should thank the Lord when you go to the bathroom by yourself. You imagine what those people would give to be able to walk in there and just to be able to get themselves ready. You imagine what they would pay just to be able to eat, feed themselves, many of them. You imagine what they would pay to be able to just go in, open the door up and run the water and lay down and take them a good bath. Imagine what they'd pay. All of us that came here tonight got ready before we got here. Did we not? Took baths, showers, had set our clothes, got ourselves ready, fed ourselves, put ourselves in our cars and drove down here. You see how blessed we really are? You see how blessed we really are? When you really get to feeling like you're really having a hard time, it would do you a lot of good just to go into a nursing home and just walk down the aisle and see really how blessed you really are. Just to be able to walk and see and hear. Get yourself up. Get yourself dressed and do all of those things. Focus on what you have as opposed to what you've lost. You indeed have a lot. If you're here tonight and saved, you have a lot. And if you drove here to church, you have a lot. Many of them would give anything to be able to do that. Everybody understand blessing number one. Focus on what you have and be thankful for it instead of focusing on what you've lost. Number two, we fail to view many tasks. We fail to view tasks as blessings. Many tasks, life tasks as blessings. T-A-S-K-S. We fail to view many tasks in life as blessings. So what are you talking about now? Well, who set me to thinking about number two was Debbie Musick. And she made an odd statement this past year that I wrote down. I share it with the church, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. We don't consider washing dishes a blessing, do we? Some of you women's greatest, or even men, greatest hope for Christmas is a dishwasher. No one wants to wash dishes. We consider that a dreaded task to have to wash dishes. Debbie Musick, whose eyes have improved, but her prayer to God was the Lord would bless her with the ability to see enough to where she could wash her dishes again. Now, we don't consider washing dishes a blessing. Do you consider what? No, I ask you, don't raise your hand. But if I ask you to raise your hand, if you consider washing dishes a blessing, I seriously doubt if you told the truth that you'd raise your hand. Now, washing dishes is a blessing to someone that can't see. Washing dishes is a blessing to someone that can't see to be able to do such a thing. Okay? So many tasks that's dreaded by many people. You know, when I get out in the summer and I cut my grass, I thank my God that I'm able to do it. Yeah, it might be 95 degrees and I'll be out there and I'll be sweating and my sweat will be a pour and I'll be sucking wet. At the same time, if you watch me, unless the lawnmower won't start, which will put me in the flesh, but if you'll watch me while I'm... I know somebody's thinking the weed eater incident, but okay. But when I'm cutting my grass, I'm thanking my God while I'm doing it. Because you know, there's a lot of people that would pay $1 million to have the health to be able to cut their grass. And I thank the Lord that I'm able to do that. We need to view many tasks that that people consider drudgery. We need to view those as blessings. It's a blessing to be able to cut your grass. It's a blessing to be able to wash your dishes. Some of you dread going to work. Man, I have to go to work Friday. Boy, you need to thank God you're going to work Friday, because, boy, there's a lot of people that don't have work that would love to be able to go to work Friday. You lose your job, you'll wish you're going to work Friday. So you need to view many tasks that you consider drudgery and thank the Lord for them. Man, thank the Lord you're able to do things. Work in your garden. Go to work. Let me read you something. They run this in Ann Landers. I wrote this up for you. It says, now don't use this as justification, this number one anyway, for tomorrow. Be thankful for clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means you have enough to eat. Be thankful for the mess you clean up after a party, because it means you have been surrounded by friends. Be thankful for taxes you pay, because it means you're employed. Be thankful that your lawn needs mowing and your windows need fixing, because it means you have a home. Be thankful for your heating bill, because it means you're warm. Be thankful for the laundry, because it means you have clothes to wear. Be thankful for the space you find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means you can walk. Be thankful for the lady who sings off key behind you in church, because it means you can hear. Be thankful when people complain about the government, because it means we have freedom of speech. Be thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the early morning hours, because it means your life. All God's people say. View many tasks as blessings. Number three, we fail to see the... Why don't we thank the Lord? We fail to view many tasks as blessings. We complain and quarrel about them all the time. Okay? We focus on what we don't focus on what we have. Focus on what we've lost. And then number three, we fail to see the greatness. This is the third reason why we're not thankful as we should. We fail to see the greatness of simple things. We fail to see the greatness of simple things. I'm going to explain that to you. Every Monday for the past years, even when I was working up at Russell Stanley and Mauser, and on Mondays I eat lunch with my mother. Every Monday. Unless something, you know, drastic happens and I don't, then I'll go on Tuesday. Good eating at Mother's. So on Monday, I'll eat dinner with my mom. Now, does that seem simple? That does seem simple, but let me ask you a question. There's a lot of people that would pay $1 million to be able this coming Monday to sit down and eat lunch with their mommy. Somebody say amen. If they could have a 30-minute lunch with their mommy on Monday, they'd pay $1 million. That shows you how much it's worth. We fail to thank God for those simple things. When I talk to my sons on the cell phone, I got a cell phone now, once I figure out how to run this stupid thing. Think about it. I moved to high tech now that I'm full time. When I call them and I talk to my sons on the phone, I thank the Lord for that. I said, well, why would you think? Well, I know what a lot of people would pay. A lot of people in this world would pay to be able to talk to their children on the phone. I know what those things are worth to people. I realize that. I was in a store. I came here for the store or restaurant. And they had these two little ones right here. And David, the little ones, was climbing all over that daddy. And his hair was messed up and glasses was shook up. And I watched him and he was fooling around with him. And I said, no, I didn't know him from Adam, but I thought he needed a helping hand. And I said, hey, bud, believe me, there'll be a day that you'll miss that. I know that's hard right now, but there will be a day and a time, Denver, there'll be a day at a time that you miss that. They will, he will. So you need to thank God for the things that people consider simple. You need to thank God for those things. Go fishing with my dad in the spring. Every time I go, I thank the Lord. What's a fishing trip with your dad worth? Somebody tell me. What would you give to go on a fishing trip with your dad? Put a price tag on those things. You know what? You can't do it. One of the reasons we're not thankful like we should is we fail to see the greatness of simple things. And these simple things is worth a lot. And we overlook many of those things. They just let them roll right by like they're nothing. And they're great. They're awesome. There's many things like that. I could name the bunch, but I'm trying to get this done. Number four, fail to see the greatness of simple things. And number four, what's the next reason we don't praise Him? We fail to see the good and the bad. Now, I hope I can find this. I marked this in this book somewhere. I got some things I want to read to you out of it. Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 28, verse you all know and have known for some time, that all things work together for the... Now, that's not for everybody now. You can't apply that to everybody. Let me quote the whole verse. All things work together for the good to them who love God. and to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's what it says. So He'll cause even those things that are bad to work together for the good. Now, you can't always see that when that first happens. Sometimes you might not be able to see that all your life. Sometimes we just accept that by faith. But you need to be able to see the good sometimes in things that are bad. And sometimes the Lord will show you those things. I've had people come to me and say, Jeff, you remember when this happened in my life? I say, yes. The Lord knew what He was doing. They'll be excited the whole time. Well, we always knew that. The Lord always knows what He's doing. But now they see the different things that God did through that event that was appeared to be so bad. And they see it. And they name those things to me. And they tell me what they are. And we both praise the Lord together. Let me read this to you. Matthew Henry, matter of fact, I got his commentaries. Matthew Henry is a famous scholar and Bible commentator who was once accosted by thieves that robbed him of his purse. And he wrote these words in his diary. You know, if you got robbed, is that a bad thing? Yeah, he robbed him of his money. But Matthew Henry would look for the good in the bad. Here's what he said. Let me be thankful first, he said. This is the first thing. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. That's what he said. I'm thankful that I was never robbed before. That's the first time I was ever robbed, but I'm thankful it never happened before then. You've robbed twice, it would be worse. Thankful that I was never robbed before. That's what he said. Then he goes on to write, second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. He's thankful that they spared his life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, Matthew Henry said, he wrote, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Oh, God's people said, He's seen the good in the bad. Now, you can't always see that. Many times in your life, you can't always see that. Book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Have you ever said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I don't understand this thing. I don't know why You permitted this thing. You know, I found that Job didn't understand either. I've never had a day like Job had. He lost everything he had financially in one day. His whole material empire came crashing down around him in one day. Read Job 1 and 2. If that wasn't bad enough, the next day he lost his health. He lost his, had boils all over his, from head to toe. When his friends came to visit him, they didn't even know who he was from a distance. And he was in pain and he was running and he was miserable. And then on top of everything else, his wife never wanted nothing to do with him either, as you read the context of Scripture. Matter of fact, she said to curse God and die. That's what she said. You know, I'm sure Job didn't understand that. Do you agree? He hadn't been sinning either. He'd been serving the Lord. He hadn't been doing anything wrong. He'd been doing everything right. And for a long time, Job never understood why the Lord permitted those things. But you know something? Job never had all the information. He didn't know that behind the scenes, Satan had had an interview or had went to the Lord and had said that the only reason Job is serving you is because of you blessed him. You touch what he has, he'll curse you to your face. Boy, if the Lord would have told Job about that meeting, that would have pumped him up. But the Lord didn't tell him about that meeting. If the Lord would have said, you know, Job, 7,000 years after you're gone, your life story will serve as an encouragement to my people. I bet Job said, well, if it's going to bless your people that much, bring it on. I understand it. But God never told him that. If he had said in the end, I'm going to bless you double. He never knew none of these things till at the end when the Lord showed them to him. But once the Lord did, Job seen that the Lord worked it all for the what? Good. Joseph sliced the same way. We fail to see the good many times in the bad. That's why we don't thank Him like we should. That's why those are four reasons I give you tonight why we don't thank Him like we should. I put something, I didn't put one thing on the board, but this is actually a fifth one. We fail to see the greatness of our Savior. Man, Jesus is being saved. I hope the awesomeness of that hasn't wore off for you. Being born again, being saved from hell. Let me read you something. This is what I'll close with. I hope you've by now wrote down and I'll have Drew collect them for me. But let me read this to you in conclusion. It said the sun had just risen on a hot August day in 1944 in a small village, Pleau, in German-occupied France. A 15-year-old boy did not know why he and other citizens of the city had been lined up before a firing squad in the middle of a town square. Perhaps they were being punished for harboring a unit of French underground freedom fighters. Perhaps they were merely to satisfy the bloodlust of the Germans. Commanding officer who the evening before had routed a small group of French scouts. All the boy knew was he was about to die. As he stood before the firing squad, he remembered the carefree days of his early childhood before the war, spent roaming the French countryside. He thought about all he would miss by never growing up. Most of all, he was terrified of dying. How will the bullets feel ripping through my body, he wondered. He hoped no one could hear the whimperings coming from deep in his throat every time he breathed. Suddenly, the boy heard a sound of exploding mortar shells beyond the limits of the little village. Rapidly moving tanks could also be heard. Germans were forced to abandon the firing squad and face a small unit of U.S. tanks. 20 American GIs were led by Bob Hamsley, a corporal in Patton's 3rd Army. A French captain had asked Hamsley for help. After 3 hours, 50 Nazis were dead and the other 50 were taken prisoner. In 1990, the town of Pleau honored Bob Hamsley on the very spot where dozens of the town's citizens would have died if not for him. The man who initiated the search for Hamsley and the ceremony honoring him was the former mayor of Pleau, that same 15-year-old boy. He had determined to find the man who saved his life and honor him. It's hard to forget your Savior. All God's people said. Now that's saving your physical life. Jesus saved you from an eternity in hell. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Drew